Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches, they never changed anything.
Out there.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me.
Friends, it is time once again for our daily message of hope. And with today's message, here is Richard Eaton.
Friends, to brighten your day, here is our message of hope. A man who taught many wonderful truths about life once said, "Make the most of your present opportunities. Make the most of your present opportunities." Let me repeat once again. Make the most of your present opportunities. And the longer I live, the more convinced I am, this is a wonderful piece of advice. Appreciate the present before it becomes the past. Make the most of your present opportunities. So many of us waste our present time worrying about the past or the future. And actually, we can do nothing about either the past or the future. Little sympathy or patience should be wasted on the person who is eternally crying for the good old days or bemoaning that things aren't as they used to be. Naturally, they aren't. Time changes all things, as it is changing you right now. And were it not for change, there could be no progress in this world of ours. Probably a good bit of advice to all of us would be to live every moment as it comes to us, just as though it were the only one we had on earth. To appreciate the present before it becomes the past. Let your life be filled now with love, with happiness, with harmony, with courage, with faith. Too many of us are wasting energy trying to relive the past. And we are putting off our good from day to day, from month to month, and from year to year, so that we never quite catch up with it. Why not live now? Forget the troubles of the past and stop dreading the future. The expression of our powers and abilities is governed by our thoughts. If our thoughts are dwelling in the past or in the future, our power and abilities will be lessened in the present, because they will be trying to follow our thoughts to realms that do not exist. We need all our abilities right now in the present moment. We cannot afford to dissipate them by letting our mind dwell on the past or by worrying about the future. If we live rightly every present moment, we shall have no occasion to mourn over the past. What does it really matter today what happened yesterday or some other day in the past? It is beyond our recall, so it is not worth the effort of worrying about it. Dr. Frank Crane expressed a bit of good philosophy on this matter in his short article called The Past. Says Dr. Crane, "A good deal of morbid nonsense has been said and written and thought about the past. The past is irrevocable. We have been told in sermon and story, you cannot escape the past. The past can never be changed." And so on and so on. The whole trend of this thought being that the past is a kind of a Sherlock Holmes, dogging our steps forever.
a sinister nemesis waiting its chance to strike us down. The account book of an angry God, sure to confront us someday. All of this is morbid. Most of it is dramatic. The underlying sentiment of it is false and weakening and septic. As a matter of fact, our past, as Maeterlinck puts it so well, depends on our present and changes with it. Our past depends on our present and changes with it. What the past is depends upon the way you are now using it. Its effect upon your destiny will be gauged by how you translate it into the future. If we brood over the past and weaken ourselves with vain regret, with self-contempt and remorse, then that past will poison and undo us in the present. But no matter what the past contains of our sin or folly, we can, by a right use of it now, make it minister to our welfare. First of all, we can learn wisdom from the past. By it, we can realize our faults to be corrected and our offenses to be atoned for. And with this wisdom, we can go on to better things. The only true repentance is so to use the past as to enable us to build a better future. Weeping and wailing and brooding, those are the luxuries of morbidity. The past is beneath our feet. We can go down into it and wallow in impotent grief, or we can step upon that past to higher things. The great enemy of life is despair. The great friend is hope. Despair paralyzes, ruins. Hope energizes, for we are saved by hope. Face the future. Whatever the past has been, let it nerve you to spend your remaining days in faithfulness and loyalty to your better self. These are the words of Dr. Frank Crane, and I feel he certainly has the right view. Be concerned about your past only to the extent that it can teach you. The mistakes and sorrows of yesterday belong to yesterday. Yesterday provided sufficient time in which to consider its woes. Most of the worries, the griefs, the heartaches that we suffer are nothing more or less than memory of the troubles and hurts that we experienced some time in the past. If we could only remember that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Moffat renders this passage as a day's own trouble is quite enough for the day. And when you stop to think of it, isn't this true? We can readily understand from this that the miseries or woes of yesterday can enter today or tomorrow only through our memory. Before the end of yesterday, we should have put out of mind every disturbing thought caused by yesterday's situations. Those were yesterday's problems, so let them, along with yesterday, pass from sight and from memory. Let not the sun go down from your wrath is a mighty good bit of advice, or so it seems to me. We should not let the day close with our mind disturbed. It is too late to do anything about the way we let yesterday close. But we can do something about the way we let today close. Let us set today free in order that we may meet tomorrow, another new day, fresh and clean and unused, in the right spirit. Our wrath, mental disturbance, and physical miseries of yesterday have no place in our today. They only serve to crowd out the joys and blessings that are in store for us today. Each new day, a new world will begin for us if we do not carry into it the woes of yesterday. If we have not forgotten the woes of yesterday, we do not really experience a new day. To us, the day is just an extension of yesterday. When we let yesterday's sun go down, finding us wrathful and disturbed in mind, we are not obeying the biblical injunction to forget our miseries. We are not approaching the new day with a clear mind and a clean heart. The wisely given command to forget is a provision for our happiness. Were we to remember all our mistakes of the past, we should not have time to think of the good we want. Thou shalt forget thy misery. What shall we forget? What does the misery include? What comes under the category of wrath of mind? Everything not founded upon God or good and truth. It was meant that we should enjoy today to the exclusion of the wraths and miseries of yesterday. We are not to let one little rankling thought of yesterday sully the purity and beauty of today. You know, friends, the sleep that God gives us at night is but a form of His power to help us forget. Sleep is a vestibule through which we pass from one day to the next. We are to shed all our useless thoughts before we approach the next day. What of the wrongs that someone had committed against us yesterday or some other day? What of our jealousies and suspicions? What of the things we secretly accuse ourselves of? All these must go. We must forget them. They belong to the dream or nightmare of the past in which we have awakened to a new day. Are you willing to obey the command, "Thou shalt forget thy miseries"? You alone can decide. You alone can reap the benefits of forgetting. You alone can decide whether you will spoil this new day, fresh and clean and unused, by harboring the adverse thoughts of yesterday. You alone can decide whether you will today remain in the wrathful state of mind of yesterday, or whether you will make the most of your present opportunities. The things of yesterday brought to your mind, which caused you to be disturbed, are quite insignificant today. Forget them. Learn to wipe from mind every thought that works against your highest good. Enjoy today to the fullest. You can do this only by approaching it with a clear mind, receptive to the good in store for you. Let each new day begin life anew for you, rather than being merely an extension of yesterday. Start out this morning by obeying the command to forget. Make up your mind you are not going to try to carry yesterday along into this brand new day. Erase from your mind any sense of blame, any memory of failure, all sorts of wrongs of the past. Was it not Ruskin who said, "Let every dawn of morning be to you as the beginning of life, and every setting sun be to you as its close"? Then let every one of these short lives leave its sure record of some kindly thing done for others, some goodly strength or knowledge gained for yourself. Let me repeat, let every dawn of morning be to you as the beginning of life, and every setting sun be to you as its close. Then let every one of these short lives leave its sure record of some kindly thing done for others, some goodly strength or knowledge gained for yourselves. It behooves all of us to live in the present in the way that will make of our future that which we wish our present were now. Yes, friends, it's up to us. We can go down into and wallow in impotent grief, or we can step upon the past to higher things. It is up to us. And so, friends, you've been listening once again to our message of hope. God bless you, everyone.
Listen again tomorrow, friends, for another message of hope with Richard Easton. This is UBC, the United Broadcasting Company.
The Eagles have got a shot in this football game. 2 seconds, Grant. We've got time for a Hail Mary.
No, the defense too strong for the pass.
No, we can't run it. That's our only option.
You got to kick it, man.
David.
I need a 51-yard field goal.
Coach, I can't kick that far.
David, they've been stopping the run and the pass all night. You're my best option.
Coach, the farthest I've ever kicked is a 39-yarder. There's no way I can kick a 51-yard field goal.
I believe you can. Your job is to do the best you can to leave the results up to God. I need you on that field.
Our field goal unit. Grant, we've got to throw it. He can't kick it from there. It's too far.
No, it's not.
What are you doing?
I'm preparing for rain.
I don't understand this, but with 2 seconds left on the clock, Coach Grant Taylor and the Shiloh Eagles are putting the game in the hands of a 145-pound backup kicker.
This is not a good move on Grant Taylor's part. He even has to kick into the wind.
He's not ready, Granny. Don't think he can do it.
I don't have any more timeouts. Call a timeout, Bobby Lee.
This kid can't kick that far.
Call that timeout.
Call a timeout anyway, and let's ice him.
Hey, come here.
David, you telling yourself you're going to miss this kick?
Coach, it's too far.
Listen to me. Do you think Guy could help you make this kick? Do you believe it, David?
Yeah, if he wants to.
So do I. But you have got to give me your best and leave the rest up to him. Will you do that for me? David, whether you make this field goal or not, we're going to praise him. But don't you walk off this field having done any less than your best.
Can I help you?
Don't touch me. I'm standing for my son.
God, help me make this kick.
Kick it now! Kick it now!
To say. David Childers. Don't you ever let anyone tell you that you're under par, second rate, or inferior. I just watched God do a miracle through you. I saw a field of giants, 85 of them to be exact, fall in defeat. Now you tell me what's impossible with God.
Nothing, Coach.
Zach, I just watched you and the offense do what they said could not be done. Now you tell me what's impossible with God.
Nothing, Coach.
Brah, how about it? Built that stone wall, didn't you? And it stood. Now you tell me what's impossible with God.
Nothing, Coach.
How about it, Scott? What's impossible with God?
Nothing.
Are you sure? Because those giants are big. They outnumber 3-1. Are you sure there's nothing impossible with God?
I'm sure, Coach.
How about it, Nathan? What's impossible with God?
Nothing, Coach.
Jonathan?
Nothing.
Are you positive?
Positive, Coach.
So am I. So am I. God can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. And he chooses to work in our lives because he loves us. Because he's good. Hope today is a milestone for what he can do for the rest of your life. If you trust him. And we spend some time thanking him.
All right, had to get the pumped up this morning, so we played a lot of motivation. motivational stuff. We typically start the podcast off with motivation anyway. Today's podcast on It's My House is titled Post-Pandemic Travel with Vincent Richardson. Once again, post-pandemic travel, or for some of us still in the pandemic, traveling while you're in the pandemic, with Vincent Richardson. 619-768-2945 is the number, and to get us, or we already got some motivation going into this, but let's see, let me open up his mic. Good morning, Deacon Richardson. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Fine, fine. And now, before you get into the travel part, I'm going to let you cap off our morning motivation. Share your testimony with us, because you had to face a real big giant in your life concerning your health at one time. Could you share that testimony with us before you get into the travel?
Most definitely. Yes, I'm a 22-year, almost 23-year heart transplant recipient. And prior to having my heart transplant, I was in Tampa General waiting for the heart in 1998. And as I was waiting for the heart, that night I went into cardiac arrest in my sleep. And I actually died. God has the final say-so of life. And later on that night, or should I say that morning, around 2 a.m. in the morning, my eyes were open. And the Lord said, not yet. So it was not my time. And when the nurses came in my room and they saw my eyes open, they started calling my name and asking me if I was okay. And I told them yes. I'm great, because I was on my way to glory. But it just goes to show you, when God has something for you to do, I don't care what man says or how he says it, you're not going anywhere until you finish what God has for you to do.
Now, let me ask you this. You say you went into cardiac arrest in your sleep. Had they, when you got, woke up and everything, they hadn't found a heart yet at that point, right? A compatible heart.
The machine had said that I had flatlined. I was
okay.
I was gone. But when the nurses came into my room, my eyes opened. So I wasn't gone. I was still here.
All right. So now how between that, the time that, flatline woke back up, between that, how long was it before a compatible heart came along?
I actually got the heart on Thanksgiving Day, which is my youngest son's birthday.
Okay.
Which is the 26th of November. And I went into surgery on the 27th.
So, I mean, how long would the period of time was that between the flat line and you actually getting the heart?
I would say about a month.
Okay. All right. Now, during that period of time, did you have any thoughts that came into your head where could it happen again, or you didn't have any negative thoughts like that, or what?
No, I didn't have any negative thoughts, because my Bible teaches that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So either way it went, I won. Would I want
all
to
right.
leave my family? No, I didn't want to leave my family. But whatever God's will is, that's what's going to be done. But as I said, You know, when God has something for you to do, I don't care what man says or what it is that you're going through, you're not going anywhere until you finish what God has for you to do.
Right. Boy, what a testimony. Well, now, let's say you got the heart. Now, how was the, because I imagine that, I guess you felt some pain after you woke up from the transplant. How was your adjustment in those first, first 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, it was a little sore because they literally had to cut me open and
right.
take out the old heart and put another heart in. So, you know, even now, sometimes I can feel where they went in and did the incision. But
right.
over the years, I've gotten stronger. I go to the gym 3 times a week now. I've had some other health issues that I've overcome. But it's just by the grace of God that I'm still here. I'm still doing what I do. And I thank the Lord for my wife because she's been my rock. She's been with me through everything. And we've prayed together. We've cried together. We've laughed together. My whole family has been by my side. So I'm a blessed man.
No about a doubt there. Well, your mission's not over now. One of your missions is to help people with vacations or even make money helping other people or even themselves with vacations. So share that with us.
Yes. excuse me. I actually have 2 businesses in one. We have IntelliTravel, which is the travel arm of traveling. And we have Planet Marketing, which is the marketing of travel. And we put the two together. And in order to become a travel advisor, you actually have to come through Planet Marketing as a rep in order to become a travel advisor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's start off with the consumer side of it. If a person wants to travel anywhere in the United States or around the world, what are the initial steps to take advantage of this?
Well, for one, become a rep and a travel advisor because
All right,
that's
so
where you. That's where you
get
access.
You do them both at the
access.
Same time.
Right, because that's where you get access to the perks that are there for travel advisors and marketing representatives. All that's combined into one.
Okay. What would be... what are some of the discounts that, and I guess it all depends on where you're going to go and that type of thing, but,
you
use it yourself, so share with us some of the experiences that, I mean, you know, where you went and how much you probably saved.
Well, I've gone to luxury hotels that would normally cost you an arm and a leg, but... by virtue of being a rep and a travel advisor, I was able to use my credentials that I have accumulated to save anywhere from 25 to 35 or 40% in my travel, and also teach other people how to do the same, and also on the marketing side, help them to create a network that would set them free financially for the rest of their lives.
Now, let's we get the travel discount on one side of it. Now, could you explain the business opportunity part of this?
Well, actually, we have a video that actually does that. So,
okay.
What I would tell everybody, if they're interested in learning more about both businesses, tonight we have what is called a Freedom Friday Zoom video meeting, and all of that will be explained.
It's Thursday though, Deacon. You mean that's for tomorrow
right.
night? Okay,
uh-huh.
tomorrow night. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what they do, they break down both businesses to you. They explain what each business does, how much it costs for each business. And I'm telling you, we have people that's making tremendous money in this business. And not only that, we're able to bring along other people that are like-minded, that
mm-hmm.
are interested in a better life for themselves and their families.
Okay. Now, to get in on that, for the video, how do they get to see the video?
Well, first of all, you have to download Zoom.us, so you have to have a Zoom account. And then the number, I have the number here if I could give it out, if that's okay
yes,
with
sure,
you.
Yes, sure, give it out. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the meeting ID is 778-4657-0864. Again, the Zoom meeting ID is 778-4657-0864. And it begins at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and 8 p.m. Central Standard.
And that's tomorrow night, right?
That is tomorrow night, yes, sir, at 9 p.m.
Friday, Friday evening, okay. Because
yes,
we're on Thursday right now, okay.
Yes, sir.
And that's a live Zoom meeting. All right, so they'll explain
yes,
everything basically you need to know.
Yes, sir.
There's quite a few people on that call, too, I think.
It's over 600 or 700. And this is just...
Yeah, quite a few.
This is just our team.
Hmm. Well, all right. I guess that's the first step then. From there, if people are interested, they would have to get
they
back
contact
in touch
me.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can we do that?
You can reach me at 407-448-9656, and my name is Vincent Richardson Sr.
Okay. All right, well, that sounds good. Now, how long you been doing it?
I've been doing this for over a year.
Oh, okay, all right. You got a vested interest in it, and you've been doing you got a little time behind it as well.
Yes, sir.
Now, what is some of, now you mentioned some people can, you guys are not promising anything other than, you know, if you put the work in. So what are some of the results of other people who have gotten in? I mean, some people came in, they might have had a 9-to-5. Maybe now they're exclusively working this business. What are some of the success results? Behind
well, we've actually had people that work for the government that have come into our business, and now they're making six figures in our business. So what they did, they gave their government job back to the government. And when you first come into the business, there's about three areas where you actually start. The first one is called Bronze Builder. That's where you actually start off from. And then as you develop a bill in the business and you get more people involved in the business, you go to Silver Builder. And then from there, you go to Gold Builder Plus or Gold Builder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the stair step to helping you get to director. And we have about 57 people that makes 100K a year, and they wear what is called the sapphire ring. And we have about 16 people that makes 250K a year, and they wear what is called the ruby ring. And we have 5 people that makes $500,000 a year. And I'm happy to say that my mentor is one of the 5 people that makes the $500,000 in a year. Matter of fact, he's the second money earner in our business, and he wears the diamond ring. And we have one person right now that actually makes $1 million a year in our business, and he wears the double diamond ring.
And this is all
people
from
making big money.
This is basically by people helping, educating people, or helping people save money while they travel.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hmm.
And on top of that, they're building a residual income for the rest of their lives, for their families. And another good part about this, Mr. David, is it's willable to any family member that you designate.
Wait
so
a minute, generational wealth.
Yes, uh-huh. So if you should pass away, whatever you have built up as a director in this business, it will go to that particular family member, and your business will continue to grow even after you've long gone off the scene.
Now, let me ask you this then. Well, the, let's say, next of kin, now what will they have to do to maintain? I mean, will they have to meet? I mean, because will they need to be trained on how to keep the business going or what?
Well, what happens, your mentor, the one that brought you into the business, he will come alongside your family members and help them to keep your business going and help it to thrive and also teach them in the process.
Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, that's really
so
important.
So they won't be there by themselves. They have layers of leadership that will be there to, you know, take them by the hand and help them to continue to build a legacy for the rest of the family.
Well, now, where are some of these travel destinations that people have traveled to?
Anywhere in the world. Anywhere that your mind can conceive, you can travel. You can go to Hawaii. You can go to Cancun, Mexico. You can go to Alaska, wherever you want to go.
Now, what about, I imagine one of the perks of the business is, or if you do your training and sticking with it, I guess you learn how to travel, because there's some people that, what do you call those, a number of frequent flyer miles. You build up to a certain point.
You
don't have to pay for certain
well.
Trips or that type thing.
Right. You build up enough travel miles where you can actually travel for free.
Hmm. Well, now, that's attractive to me, that in itself.
Yeah, because you're an avid traveler. You're constantly on the go, so this business would really work well for you. And with the people that you know, it would work well for them as well. And on top of that, you not only would be helping yourself, but you would be helping other people and building your own network at the same time. And that's where me and all of my other leaders come in to help train you and your network how to do it.
Okay. Well, now during this pandemic, how's the business going during the pandemic, or are people traveling? Because people are still traveling, but and it's probably not as high as rate, but give us the latest on pandemic traveling.
Well, I'm going to give you our breaking news commissions. During the pandemic, our business paid out commissions over $101,167,426. This is during the pandemic. We didn't only survive, we thrived. And believe it or not, Planet Marketing is only 5.5 years old. We're thriving.
Any hotspot destinations during this pandemic?
Right now, I would not go to Israel. I wouldn't go over there right now because too much turmoil.
I just read
there's
been some this talk. There might be a war over that way sooner or later.
Right. So you wouldn't want to go in that direction right now.
Asia, I think, is still closed to a high degree. What about domestic travel? A lot of people traveling domestic these days more or about the same? Because we're going into year two of the pandemic, but it looks like things might clear up by July 1st.
Well, not only traveling by air, but we're looking at getting back into cruising by the middle of July or the first part of August. And so that looks very promising as well. But I, myself, when I travel, and I would tell anybody, still wear your mask. I would rather be safe than sorry, because this pandemic is not over. It's still killing people. So
yeah,
wherever
true.
You go, wherever you fly, or when you get ready to get on a boat, wear your mask. Wash your hands. Do all of the same things you've been doing. Stay safe.
Okay. Now, this brings me back to your health. Now, do you have to take any special precautions? Well, you've had your new heart for like 23 years. So
it'll be 23 years this coming November.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're walking around normal every time I've seen you. You know, you don't look like a man that's had a heart transplant.
Well, believe it or not, my wife and I, we just flew to Rochester last month.
Where?
Rochester, New York.
Oh, Rochester. Okay, uh-huh.
And we had our mask on, and we made sure that we washed our hands. We did everything that the airlines told us to do. And everything went well. Plus, we're totally vaccinated, both of us. And I would tell anybody, if you haven't gotten your shot, get your shot.
Okay. Did you did the one shot or the two shots?
I did the two. We did the visor.
All right. Well, that's promising to hear.
Yes.
And whatnot. Now, for people, once again, for people that want to get in on this call tomorrow night, which is an informational call, what can they do to get on our call tomorrow night and the times again?
Yes, tomorrow night the Zoom meeting ID is 778-4657-0864. I'm going to say it again. The Zoom meeting ID is 778-4657-0864. And the time is 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific. And it's called the Freedom Friday Zoom call. And this is where you would get all of your questions answered. Plus, after the presentation, we have a question and answer period. So if you still have other questions, you can get them answered at that time.
Okay. And then after that, if they want to get any further information or just sign up, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at 407-448-9656. Again,
okay.
407-448-9656.
Okay, all right. Well, that sounds good. Any trips you got planned coming up soon? Yourself and your wife or family?
Well, right now, we're kind of in limbo. We'll keep my brother-in-law in prayer. We might end up having to go back to Rochester because he's not doing well. But we're still trusting God that his will be done in his life. And whatever the will is, we're still trusting God. But if it come to it where we have to go back, we will be going back for that reason. But as of right now, I don't have anything planned yet. But I have a lot of other plans in the works. We're just waiting to see, you know, how this play out before we move forward.
I'm going to have to bring you on one of our – we're starting up a fitness show probably this weekend because you mentioned you go to the gym 3 times a week. I got another friend of mine. He walks 5 miles a day.
Wow.
Because a lot of people, just by staying active physically, can work wonders for you.
Believe it or not, that makes a big difference. As you get older, the more active you stay, the better you'll feel, and your body will tell you that.
Right.
Because I'm 70 years old now, and I had to get back into the gym because I got so lethargic. I wasn't doing anything, just sitting around. My wife, she told me, she said, you know what, we need to get back in the gym. Because, I mean, I was walking around like I was 90 years old
because
that's how I was feeling. But now that I'm back in the gym, I'm a lot more active. My body's responding. I feel better. So, you know, as you stay active, your body will respond. It'll let you know, this is what I need.
You know what's interesting is you've got I had a basketball coach passed away last year. He was 74, but he was a chain smoker. Then a friend of mine, matter of fact, I used to date her, she passed away last October 26th of last year. She had been smoking for 50 years.
Wow.
And you couldn't, she ignored the signs that her body was sending to her. Like, she had numbness in her feet. She ignored that. Then she had a stroke. And then when I mentioned, did the doctor tell you that smoking, you know, boy, she got pissed off behind that. Didn't want to hear that there was a connection between a stroke and smoking. Kept on smoking. Yeah, she had a lung infection.
But it is.
Then ignored that. Then she got diagnosed with lung cancer. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. A lot of people just don't pay attention to their bodies, and then a lot of people don't cut out toxic things. And you got people in their 20s and 30s that check out, like, very early because they don't listen to their body, or they don't get into fitness. Like, see, if you just take a 20-minute walk a day, just 20 minutes.
Exactly. It makes a big difference,
You know, so,
never tell anybody. You know, you don't have to stay in the gym 2 and 3 hours. You can go there and do start off with 30 minutes. You know, get your body acclimated. And
right.
Then as you get acclimated, then you can move it up to maybe an hour. You know,
right.
Got for about an hour, and you will be surprised how your body will react in just a week.
Right. Well, did you hear about, I guess there were some cases last year, some people from the United States went down to the Dominican Republic and died. Did you hear about those cases?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I got a theory behind that. And I know of one guy, I used to produce his show, Charles Tyler, the late Charles Tyler. He was like 44, 45 when he passed away. Man, that's about 3 years ago, probably. Is my theory on the things that happened in Dominican is a lot of people that might have a sedentary life, they might go on a vacation to a tropical place or wherever. And then they try to go from 0 to 100. And a lot of times your body can't handle that. Because when you're going from sitting around to clubbing every night or you know, any kind of physical activity that you weren't doing, now you're doing it in excess. And then you're drinking, and when you're going from not drinking to drinking like a fish, like
that's
to go from 0 to 100, and then you know, that's my theory on why those people, because they, when the autopsy all came back, natural causes. So
yeah,
I'm thinking, you know, before you go on one of those exotic trips, exercise.
They were doing stuff that they had, like you said, they were doing stuff that they hadn't been doing before, and it sent the body into shock.
Because
the body was saying, whoa, wait a minute, we hadn't been doing this. Why are you pushing all this on me now? I can't handle this.
Right.
You know, like
particularly
I said,
if you get on an airplane, because a lot of people don't notice this, man. You know, when you take one of these, you know, airplane flights, you know, the body goes through change. A lot of people don't notice that because the cabin is pressurized.
It sure does.
But, you got to factor all that stuff in.
And
particularly
people,
on a long-haul flight. Right.
Yes.
You know, you need to even move around when you're flying. But, we're going to... Well, it's a good thing you go to the gym 3 times a week, so That's a good thing. And
yeah, it makes
you lead a pretty active lifestyle. So
it makes a difference.
Right. So hopefully we can get more people into that. All right. Well, Deacon, we're going. If available, we can have you back in. What's today? Thursday. Next Thursday.
Okay.
And
right. I will put that on my calendar.
I might cut back on 15 minutes of the morning motivation.
That was good.
About
I enjoyed
15
that.
Minutes today. We did about 30 minutes of it. So.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was nice. To always put God first.
Yeah, well, you get people's spirits up, and like I said, your testimonial, man. Because I'm, you know what? After I hear your testimonial, it's like the average person really doesn't have any problems.
I give God the glory, man. It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's all about Him.
All right.
Because
all right, Deacon.
If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't be able to do what I do.
Okay. Well, I'll check back with you over the weekend. We'll see you on next Thursday.
All right, sir. Thank you for your time.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.